Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Pei Aleph. We are holding the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Amud Beis. And this Mishnah should be very familiar to all of you, because it is word for word, at least the first two lines are word for word, the same Mishnah we had back on daf Chof Vov Amud Beis. And in fact, that Perek was the Perek Shlishi, and that was the first Mishnah of Perek Shlishi. The name of the Mishnah, or name of the Perek, is Bakol Ma'arvin. Sure. And the Gemara is going to ask shortly, why are we repeating ourselves? So Zok the Mishnah, Bakol Ma'arvin u'mishtatvin, chutz min hamayim u'min hamelach, divrei Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer tells us, if you want to make a ruvei chatzeros, or you want to make shitufei mavois, you can use anything which is called food. Doesn't have to be dafka, bread, or challah, or matzah. You can use fish. You can go and use meat. You can go and use vegetables. You can use anything other than mayim umelach, water or salt. Divrei Blezer. By the way, even about that, we learned back in the second parak, third parak, that if you mixed the mayim and melach together, then you could. It's just each one separately. That's not considered to be food. You cannot use it for erev. Divrei Blezer. Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, Kikar hu erev, says Rabbi Yeshua, no, you can only use a kikar. Kikar literally means a loaf, but he means either bread or challah or matzah. It's got to be something, maybe even not matzah, at least bread or challah. That's the only thing you can use. So that's l'choira machloikis number one between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says any food item, and Rabbi Yeshua says it's dafka got to be a kikar. But now Rabbi Yeshua throws in another halacha. That is, afilu mafi so'a v'hu prusa, ein ma'arvin bo. What Rabbi Yeshua is telling us is that you have to have a shalem. It's got to be a complete kikar, not a half a kikar. So much so, even if you have a ma'afi so'a. Ma'afi so'a means a challah, which is made from the quantity, the volume of a so'a. To give you an idea of how much a so'a is, a so'a is the equivalent of 144 eggs. Wow, that was an extra big challah.
Scrambled idea.
Exactly, scrambling idea. Anyway, so if you go, for instance, to a major chasen, a major dinner, sometimes they have these huge challahs. I don't even think those are made out of 144 eggs, but I guess you'd have to ask the baker. But here, if you have such a huge challah, v'uprusa, however, if it's broken off, in other words, somebody took a piece off and it's not complete, even though it's still huge, eim arvin, but no good. Now, on the other hand, going to the other extreme, if you had a kikar, ki iser is a small little matbeya, a small coin, like a dime, like a nickel, small. Kikar ki iser, v'ushalim, but if it's shalim, if it's ganz, if it's complete, ma'arvin, but you can use it for an erev. The why is there such a hakpada on sholem versus prusa, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we'll see shortly in the Gemara, Mishum Eva. What is Eva all about? We'll see in the back in the Gemara, about halfway down. Okay, Frank Dimar, you started off the Mishnah, but called Ma'arvin and Mishtatfin. Tanina Chodazimna. And now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah back on Daf Chavav. That was the opening Mishnah of Perek Bakoil Ma'arvin. What does it say? Bakoil Ma'arvin, Umishtatvin, Chutzman Amai Va'amelach. Word for word, the same as our Mishnah. Why do we need to repeat this twice? Omer Abba, Lafukim Rabbi Yeshua, the Omer Kikar En, Midachrin Aloy, Kamash Malon Bakoil. Rabbi says the reason why this is repeated a second time is because we wanted to introduce Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah. We didn't have Rabbi Yeshua back on Daf Chavav. Here Rabbi Yeshua says, Kikar hu erev, it's got to be Dafka a Kikar, not like the Tana Kama Reb Lezer, Bakoil Ma'arvin, it's got to be Dafka a Kikar. That's why you have to repeat it over here. But one second. So why didn't we have Rabbi Yeshua back in the third parak on Daf Chavav? Why do we need to repeat the Mishnah twice? To introduce Rabbi Yeshua, the first time we had in Daf Chavav, let it say over there, Rabbi Yeshua, Oimer Kikar hu erev.
Is there any other time that the Gemara speaks about the challahs being whole? Because for Korbanos, you have to have also challahs. For Shabbos, you have challahs. Yeah, different times we have.
In Masechet Shabbos, we had a discussion also in brachas. In brachas, in fact, is a the Gemara says it's better to go and make a bracha on Dabra Shalem than making on a prusa, even if the prusa is larger than the Dabra Shalem. It's not the only place that has it. We have in other places too. But now the question is, if the only reason why we repeated the Mishnah is just to introduce Rabbi Yeshua, so let's introduce Rabbi Yeshua back on Daf Chavav. What do we have to repeat the Mishnah and now tell us about Rabbi Yeshua? So Rashi tells us that there's more to this Gemara than meets the eye. And that is, back on Daf Chavav, we were not talking about Eruvei Chatzeiros. We were talking about Eruvei Tchumen. Eruvei Tchumen is when a person wants to walk the additional 2,000 Amis towards the north, the south, etc. There, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that you can go and use any food item. It doesn't have to dafke be a kikar. It can go and be any food item. And so therefore, back on Daf Chavav, there was no reason for bringing in Rabbi Yeshua that it has to be dafke kikar. In fact, to the opposite. Since that Mishnah, that Perek is focusing on Eruvei Tchumen, so then everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yeshua, that you can go and use anything, lav, dafka, kikar, you can go and use wine and shemen and salad dressing and meat and whatever you want, anything that you have, any type of food item would be good. It's only over here by Eruvei Chatzeiros that Rabbi Yeshua has a kpeda hakpoda dafka on lechem. And now you're saying to yourself, come on, what difference does it make? Eruvei Chatzeiros or Eruvei Tchumen? So Rashi says, based on the Gemara shortly, there's an inyan of Eva. Now, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, the reason why Rabbi Yeshua says in our Mishnah that it's got to be dafke a sholem and not a prusa is not because of the chashivus of the mitzvah or of the bracha, like Daniel was saying earlier. The reason for the Eva is because I'm concerned. You have four or five people that are co-owners of this chotzer. Each one is contributing towards the Erev. And now I go from place to place. The first person put in a half a bulkala. The second person put in a half an egg. The other person put in a half a piece of gefilte fish. And it comes to me, I'm the last person on the line, and I say, well, come on. It's pasnish. He should go and give a half, and he gives a half. Come on, give me a mensch. Give a whole kikar. Don't give a half a kikar. I know it came from a big challah, but come on. Give a whole kikar, not a half a kikar. And therefore, there could be a little bit of rivalry here. And one person may say, it's not right. I'm always the guy, every single week, I give the way you're supposed to. In the Haim, that's the way we did it. We had a nice, beautiful bukala. And these cheap guys, they go and give me what's left over. It's a half a challah from last week, and a half of this, and a half of that. So you could see why there might be a little bit of friction. So Rashi extends this one step further. And Rashi says, the same thing applies to Eruvei Chatzeiros, but not to Eruvei Tchumen. Eruvei Tchumen, by definition, is Yankel wants to go to the north 2,000 Amis. Gesinntheit, Yankel, do whatever you like. What do you want to put down for your meals? Yankel put down whatever he wants. It's none of my business because he's just doing it on his own. So he'll go and put down fish, he'll put flesh, he'll put eggs, he'll put half prusas, ganze chalas, half a chalas. It doesn't make a difference. So even Rabbi Yeshua would agree, it makes no difference. Just put away two sudais on the mokum Eruvei Tchumen, and that is perfect. Aware, Eruvei Chatzeiros, where you, by definition, you're being ma'arav with other people. So when you're doing with other people, there could be rivalry. That's why, said Rabbi Yeshua, it's got to be a shalem. Oh, so that's why we had to have the Mishnah repeated twice. Once in Perek Gimel, because they were talking about Eruvei Tchumen, where everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees, any food item, chutz min mayim u'melach. And over here, it's dafke Eruvei Chatzeiros. Oh, Eruvei Chatzeiros. There, the halacha is that Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says it's got to be dafke kikar in Midei Achronot Lai.
Because?
Sorry?
Why the distinction?
To avoid the...
Why the... that we... At that point...
Between Chumim and...
The reason... Nothing, sorry. The Gemara has not addressed that yet. Frankly, the Gemara even doesn't address it as we go further. However, Rashi did address this a few days ago when we had back on Daf Ayin Aleph on the days. There, Rashi said that the reason why you go with Pas... was Rashi down in the middle lines. Im rotzel arve yain, ein ma'arvin, ayin aleph on the base, halfway down the middle lines, the erev mishum dirahu. When you talk about eruv chatzeros, you're all putting together your dira in one place. Lasois and achas. The dirasei shel odem ein nimshach achra yayin ela achra pitoy. When you ask a person where does he reside, based on his food, he will reside where his bread is, and not where his, this is ayin aleph on the base. Ayin aleph is 71b, about 10 lines into the wide lines.
So your question is why you use bread?
Why does Rabbi Shua have a hakpod the dafka on bread, as opposed to, for instance, wine or shemen or peiros or yerokos? And Rashi said over there, the hakpod on bread is because the whole inyan of Eruv HaTzeiros is that you're saying, at least over Shabbos, symbolically, I don't live in my house. We all live together in Reuven's house. That's where the Erev resides. So it's got to be your bread over there as opposed to your wine or your shemen, because a person lives where his bread is. He doesn't live where his wine is. Except perhaps a shikr. But a normal person where his bread is. Yes?
Why the distinction between the Tanchumim and
Tichumim
and Chatzeros?
Why is there a difference between Tchumen and Chatzeros?
Regarding whether it's a whole bread or a slice
of bread. So we had that before too. I don't remember which Rashi or Gemara. The Gemara said because even though when it comes to Chatzeros, your residence is in that particular place, no one really assumes that by Eruv Tchumen that you are residing where you put your Erev. Why? Because in Eruv Chatzeros you put the Erev at least in somebody's house, next to where you live, it's within close proximity, it's within your chotzer, it's your neighbor, etc. So you, at least symbolically, you live there. When it comes to Ruvei Tchumen, even though there is a requirement to put the Seudais, nobody wants to live in a forest where it's surrounded by bears and deer and all different types of culprits, as well as potential terrorists and enemies and goyim and this and that. So, yes, talach is you go and put the Erev there, but it's not really your residence, and therefore you can even go and use yayin or something else. But getting back to you're welcome. Getting back to Agmar, Mendy, everybody missed you this morning. At least 15 people asked for you, even though we only had 12. Okay, so anyway, so the Gemara has answered the question. That's the reason why we repeat the Mishnah, to introduce Rabbi Yeshua Beiruv Echa Tzeles. But the Gemara is not happy with that answer. So, Frank Gemara, Eisvei Abayim. Now we are quoting from a Braisa. And the Braisa says, Bakoil ma'arvin, eruv echatzeirois, u bakoil mishtatvin, shetufei mevuais. So far, bakoil sounds like everything. V'lei omru la'arv bepas, ele bechotzeir bulvod. And they only said that you have to ma'arv with pas, with bread, by a chotzer. Now, even before we continue on, there is an obvious disconnect in this braisa quoted by Abaye, because the braisa begins bakoil ma'arvin. Bakoil ma'arvin means with everything. Where are you going?
Not for me.
Bakoil ma'arvin. Thank you. Bakoil ma'arvin. Everything. And then we say v'lei omr la'arv pas, but you have to do it with pas. So this braisa pasnished. We started off bakoil with everything, and then we end off. But make sure only do it with bread. So what does that mean? That's an oxymoron. It's inconsistent, contradictory. So therefore Rashi says, and we'll see this as we get weiter in the Gemara, that we have to reinterpret the word bakoil ma'arvin. It doesn't mean bakoil ma'arvin with any type of food, but bakoil means with any type of bread. It could be wheat bread, rye bread, barley bread. We'll see in the Gemara shortly, even rice bread or lentil bread. All different types of breads, bakoil ma'arvin. But it's got to be bread. Now, Frank Dimar, man shamus le de'omer pas in midechren aloy. Who's the one that established in our Mishnah, it's got to be bread and nothing else? Well, that was Rabbi Yeshua. Uktanim, but notice that the price is also bakoil. And so therefore, Zokt Rashi, the Gemara's kasha is, you see that even if it says bakoil, it doesn't necessarily mean any type of food. Bakoil could also mean any type of bread. The best proof of the pudding is because the braisa says bakoil ma'arvin, and it says, yeah, but make sure it's got to be bread. So here too, it says bakoil ma'arvin, but it's got to be bread. And if you're going to learn pshat like that, then in fact there's no machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yeshua, everybody would agree that it's got to be bread. Both the Tanakhama Ba'kol Ma'arvin bread, and Rabbi Yeshua says Kika who ate of it's got to be bread. So if that's the case, what's the machlokes? Ela Omer Rabbi Barbachana Lafuk came Rabbi Yeshua the Omer Shleima in Prusaloi. Kamash Malon Ba'Koil. So Rabbi Bechana says, we misunderstood the Mishnah, that really the Tanakhama, Reb Lezer, and Rabbi Yeshua both hold Dafka with bread. So what's the Machlokes? The Machlokes is there this Hakpoda, Dafka to be Sholem and not a Prusa, or could even be a Prusa. Since the Tanakhama says Ba'Koil, the Ba'Koil is not to come to tell you any type of food. But Ba'koil is trying to tell you any form of the food, whether it's a sholem or a prusa. Says Rabbi Yeshua, no, no, it's got to be a sholem and not a prusa. And this ends this piece of the Gemara. This pshat l'choyde is a little bit what we call a doichek pshat. Why is it a doichek pshat? Well, for two reasons. Number one, if you're telling me that the Tanakhama says any type of food, Ba'koil means any type of bread, and the reason why he says Ba'koil is to tell you both Prusa and Sholem, then why does Rabbi Yeshua have to start off Kikar Hu Erev? You're just repeating what the Tanakhama said. The Tanakhama already said Ba'koil means any type of bread. So Rabbi Yeshua says, yeah, I agree, it's got to be bread. Nushkoyach, we already said that. So that's a little bit shver. What perhaps is even more shver is because the Mishnah begins Ba'koil Ma'arvin Mishtatfin Chutz min ha'mayim u'min ha'melach. And according to what we're saying now, Ba'koil means you can go and be ma'arev any type of bread. Just leave out. Don't do mayim u'melach. What do you mean just mayim u'melach? You can't use yayin, and you can't use shemen, and you can't use salad dressing, and you can't use fish, and you can't use meat, and you can't use peiros, and you can't use yerokis. The only thing you can use is bread. So therefore, the Mishnah on the surface, according to this pshat, is abyssal l'shver. Zugma Mefarshim, I think it's the Ritva, if I'm not mistaken. He says it's kedai to have a doichik pshat rather than having machloikis, which is a very, very strong Musar Haskel, that if you can avoid making a machloikis, even if it means having to manipulate a little bit the pshat in the Mishnah, it's kedai to have everybody on the same page. I'm sorry?
There's another dochak.
What's the other dochak?
The brighter there by...
Yes.
So, unless you're saying that the first bakol refers to pot in general, and the second bakol refers to any type of food, which is on the face of it impossible. How could the author of the Braita applied two different meanings to the word bakol?
You're asking an excellent, excellent question. And Rashi addresses that question. So if you want to go almost halfway down the Rashi, Uktani Ba'koil, about a third down the Amud, Uktani Ba'koil, says Rashi, Ba'koil apas. The word Ba'koil doesn't mean any food item, and it means any bread. Umasnisa nami, mimayde b'chol de toni, akol milika omar. Who says Ba'koil means any type of food, like we learned originally? Lafuki mi hoda Rabbi Yeshua also. Dilma Ba'koil diktoni apaskoi. Just like the Brisa must be talking about pas, I have no choice because the Brisa itself says v'le'omru la'ar b'pas ele b'chotzim b'vod. So they have no choice. So just like the Brisa when it says Ba'koil means pas, is therefore perhaps the Mishnah as well when it says Ba'koil apaskoi. V'hochi k'omar, says Rashi, Ba'koil mine pas ma'arvin b'chateirois. Period. Full stop. Learn the Mishnah again. Ba'koil ma'arvin. You can use any type of bread. Feru v'chatzeres. Take a long breath. Now continue on. U'mishtadvin. Chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melach.
I grant you that Rashi is explaining, is forced to explain it this way.
Exactly.
But I'm suggesting that the stress is on the word force, and that it would seem that there seems to be a basic machluket here between the the Braita and Abaye's interpretation.
Well, Abaye's interpretation, Abaye is not at all guilty here, because Abaye is just quoting the Braita. And the Braita on the surface is inconsistent, because the Braita starts about Kol Ma'arvin, Eiruv Echad Tzeirois, comes to Chatzer anything, and then the Braita says one line later, oh, by the way, don't forget, by Chatzeris you can only use bread. But you just said Bakoil, and here you're saying bread. So I'm forced to say any type of bread. But we're not addressing Bakol Mishtatfin. There we're going to learn the Pashup Shad. Bakol Mishtatfin means any type of food item, Lav Davka bread. What's the Svara? Why is there a difference between the din of the Chotzer and the din of the Mavoi? That again, that was Rashi explained that back on Daf Ayin Aleph Omid Beis, because when it comes to an Inyan of living at home, a person lives where his food, where his bread is. But Rashi says, on again, Ayin Aleph Omid Beis, the Shituf de Mavoi Eina Elishatif Rishus HaChatzeri Sheba Mavoi. We're trying to bring together different Chatzeris, V'loi Rishus HaBatim, and not the houses. The Chotzer Lav Beis Dirahu. A chotzer is not a home, it's not a residence. Yes, we are bringing them all together in this movie to be able to carry from one to the other, but nobody resides in the chotzer. Everybody resides at home. And so therefore, you can use any food item. It doesn't have to be davka bread. Anyway, but bottom line is, the text of the Braisa, Befeirish tells us, don't read it literally, that I have no choice. It's not a Abaye interpreting it that we are forced to make that interpretation. Rav Bachana is taking that interpretation and he's putting it into our Mishnah, where it's not necessary to understand the Mishnah that way. We could have learned the Mishnah we learned originally, that Bakoil is referring to all food items. But the Gemara says, let's make the Mishnah be consistent with the Braisa, that here too, when it says Bakoil means any type of bread, by Mishtatfim means any type of food, and Rabbi Shua, yes, says, I agree with you, it's got to be bread, but I want to add one more nekuda, that it's got to be Kikar Sholem, and not a Prusa.
How many of the Bais before we got Rabbi Bar Mokana?
Yes.
How do we understand the Machlokas between Belezer and Rabbi Shua?
Before we got to Rabbi Bochana, we assumed that there were two Machlokas over here. One which was actually spoken out express, and one which was implicit. Machloikis number one is that the Tanakhama says you can make an Eruv Chatzeres with any type of food, and Rabbi Shua says no, it's actually me, Kikarhu. And number two, that the Tanakhama, since he didn't take a stand, we assume it makes no difference whether it was a Prusa or whether it was a Sholem, because if you can use any type of food, so you can use grapes, and you can use tomatoes, and you can go and use potatoes, so you can use French fries, you can go and use a bag of potato chips, so these are all Prusais, they're all cut up, who cares? Any type of food. She says, oh no, it's got to be bread, and it's got to be a sholem. According to the Maskana, they're only arguing on the Prusa and Sholem Machloikis, where the Tanakhama says, I agree with Rabbi Yeshua that it has to be a kikar, it's got to be bread, but it can be even a Prusa bread. Okay. And Rabbi Yeshua says, oh no, you got to have it a sholem. Good. Back to our Gemara, Prusa my time of life. What's the reason why Rabbi Yeshua is so insistent on Sholem? After all, if you're taking a nice slice of a long challah, which is 144 eggs, take half of that, that's bigger than a small bukala that they give for Shalosh Udus. So why? What's the problem? My time aloy, I'm Rabbi Yosef ben Chol, I'm Rabbi Mishum, Eva. What's the Eva? Rashi says halfway down, Boinli de machloikis, she'oimer ani nois in shleima, v'ata prusa. Reuven points to Shimon and says, come on Shimon, you can't do better than that. Every week I give a sholem, you can't afford to go and give a sholem. You always give me from last week shalosh udos left over half a challah. Come on. See, you brought taka 12 pieces. Shkoyach. Bring one, a kehagim, bring him, and bring. Okay, Mishamev. Omri Ravacha, bring the Rav of the Ravashi. Irvu kulim beprusais mau. So now Ravacha asks the following ordinary question, very simple question. What happens if all five members of the Chotzer, each one brings a prusa? So obviously there's no machloikis anymore because everybody's bringing a half a loaf. So would you allow for that according to Bishua? No, like a loy pluk. You can't go and say, yeah, in this case it's all right. Because, fine, today everybody's being a prusa. But what happens next week, somebody's going to bring a shalem, so you're going to reignite that old enmity, that potential eva, that one says, I brought a shalem and you brought a prusa, come on. Okay, last week we were all together and the same. But today, bring a shalem like me, come on, you made enough money last week, you could afford a shalem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, nitla himena kedei chalosu kedei dimua, ma'arvan leba, or denisht. What are we talking about? We're talking about, again, you have this large challah, and when you want to go and give challah, in other words, we of course call the nice Shabbos bread challah. The real translation of challah, as you know, is that you're supposed to take off a small portion from your bread, or from your challah, or from your matzah, and you're supposed to give it to the kohen. Because today, we don't know exactly who the kohanim are, and even if we do know, all the kahanim happen to be tameim or becheskes tamei, tumas mes, or this or that, the other thing. So as you know, we don't give the challah to the kohen today, but amir tishem, that, when I say today, it means yesterday. Hopefully by this afternoon, we'll be able to give challah again to the kahanim. Meher yibana beis hamikdash. Anyway, but bottom line is that that's the challah that you have to go and give away to the kohen. So, now, although we are not, normally we give challah min ha'isa, we give challah from the dough before you've baked it into bread or chalois. However, what you can do is, in fact, in all the shmura matzah bakers, if you ever visited them, they always give the challah after they finish baking. They give it from the final product. They go and find a couple of matzahs that are broken, and they use that for the contribution towards the challah. Okay, so when you have this huge challah, and then afterwards the baker says, by the way, we didn't give challah from the challah. Don't forget. So you got to go and break off a piece of challah. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, even though it's not a shalem, you broke off a piece. Or you broke off a piece because kidei dimua. Dimua means that this challah or the original dough had been mixed in truma with chulin, but the amount of truma was so insignificant it became bottle echad b'meya, one ingredient compared to 100, or 1 ounce compared to 100 ounces of the chulin, so it becomes bottle. However, the halacha legabe dimua, legabe truman chulin, is you have to go and pull out 100th, echad mimea. So even though it becomes bottle, but you still got to remove one out of the 100 or one out of the 101, and you have to go and either give that to the kohen, or today you'd have to go and burn it. Anyway, so the point is, what happens if you took out the amount of challah that one takes out, or if you broke off the amount of dimua, this 100th, that's 1%, marvelly, but even a kud Rabbi Shua, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, you can go mi'ma'arif, because this is considered to be so insignificant that it doesn't take away from the shleimus. Great, more about anybody have a braisa. Kidei demua ma'arvanly ba, kidei chalosa e ma'arvanly ba. That if it's taka 1%, kidei demua, that's okay. But giving away chalo is already more, and therefore that's more significant, and you can no longer use it as an eidav, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that requires a shalem. Now let me ask you, Rabbi says, does anybody know how much challah you're supposed to give to the kohen from your challah's bread or matzahs? So min ha-Torah, there is no shiur. But the Chachamim gave a shiur. And the shiur that they gave is, I know many of you thinking probably 1 out of 40, 1 out of 50, 1 out of 60. That's by truma. Oh, very good. So not by truma, it's taka 1 out of 40, 50, 60. But when it comes to challah, it's got to be 1 out of 24 or 1 out of 48. What does it depend on? If you're using it for your own personal needs, it's 1 out of 24. If you are baking bread or challah for commercial, you're selling it, you don't have to be a fancy schmancy bakery, even if you happen to be a private baker at home. But you go and produce breads or challahs or matzahs that you sell to the public, that is considered for commercial purposes, and then the chachamim let down their guard, or they were mekel, and they said, you don't have to give 1/24, you only have to give 1/48. So now, what percentage is 1/24 or 1/48? So, if you round 24 to 25, like 1/25, that would be 4%. If you round 48 to 50, that would be 2%. So, the difference between the commercial or the home-baked challah is the difference between whether you're giving 2% or 4%, both of which, of course, are much more than dimua, which is only 1%. And therefore, says the Gemara, the kasha that you asked, that Yochanan ben Shaul says that it's nitl memene kedei chalosim arvin leibo, and the Braisa says that if it's kedei chalosim eima arvin leibo lekasha, or b'chalas nachdom b'chalas balabais. It depends whether this was commercial chala or this was chala remaining at home. Did not, like we learned in the Mishnah. Where do you think this Mishnah appears? Of course, in Masechtas Chala. That now, what does it say in the Mishnah? Shir Chala, Echem Yisrael Arba, 1 out of 24. That's when Ho'is Yisrael Atzmai. You're baking it for yourself. The Yisrael Mishnah Benoi, or you're making a party, you're making a chasana for your son, for your own consumption, of course, for your guests. All that is Echem Yisrael Arba. However, Nachdim, which is a baker, Shu Yisrael Limkar Bashuk, he's selling it for the marketplace, and even a Isha Shu Yisrael Limkar Bashuk, a private lady that wants to make an extra couple of dollars, she goes and sells her chalas out in the marketplace. That is Echem Yisrael Arba Mishmoin. It's 1 out of 48. Ah, so that's what the Gemara is saying. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul said that it's nitl kedei chalosa ma'arvin loibo, that's talking about a nachtoim's bread that we took off 1/48, 2%. As long as 98% of your challah is intact, kosher. Mashenken, if you're talking about the brisa that said no, only by kedei demua, but not kedei chalosa, eimar v'leibo. That's talking about a private, for private consumption challah. That's 4%. That's already too much of a break off, and therefore that's a prusa and no longer a challah.
Well, this demua, this is truma deraisa. So it could be, as you're saying, it's batal because it's 1 in 100.
Correct.
And so this is a rabbinic enactment to take off 1% to sort of compensate, but
not so much to compensate, so that you know for sure that even though it's bottled, but if you can eat up all 100 or all 101, somebody's eating truma and he's a czar.
Right.
So therefore, to not have even that situation, even the bottle dicker, go and take off one and dispose of it.
Okay, so it's
either burn it, give it a coin. Yeah.
So midrash says it's fine; you can really eat it because it's batal. But midrabanan, they said that you need to.
If I'm not, I would have to look it up. If I'm not mistaken, it could be that midrash even it's batal beroyv. It's on the chum that said ech b'meya, and that you have to
go and
pull it out.
Right.
I don't remember that 100%. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a chazal that they learned from a pasuk, but they say that it's an asmach, that it's not a real drasha. They think it's not so simple whether derais or drabanan. But bottom line is that's what you got to do. So that's it. The more you got to remove one. And now the Gemara says, Omar of Chizda. This is something that all children dream about from time to time. Tofra bekissim, ma'arvin leibo. What happens if, in fact, you had two, you had your matzo, you had your challah, and you go and put a toothpick to, I'm sure some of you have done this or have seen it, what happens if the pitim falls off of the esrig on Sukkot? So what are you going to do? So you go and put in a toothpick to go and reconnect the pitim together with the esrig. Is that, does that consider it to be a sholem? Very good question. Go and speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi. But for purpose of our Gemara, if you want to be ma'arav with a sholem, you can put in such a toothpick and keep the two prusais together, and now I got a sholem, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. Azay? What time is a price of punk faket? But you cannot do that. It depends on how convincing you are when you put that toothpick in. If you put the toothpick in and everybody says, oh, what a beautiful challah, it's so nice. And then afterwards when you break it, where'd that toothpick come from? So nobody noticed that there was a crack, then it's effective. However, if you can tell, you can see the thing. Come on, take a look. Of course I saw it. Don't have to tell me. I can see it on my own. You think I'm blind? Of course I see that there's a toothpick there. Sure, sure. So if you did an effective fix-up job, then it's good. If it's not effective, you can go and tell where there is the break, the prusa. No good. You can even ma'arav with rice bread or with millet bread. Whenever you have oires v'doichin, it's a machloikis among the mafarshim exactly what oires v'doichin is, but the general accepted pshat is that oires happens to be rice and doichin happens to be millet. But there are other pshatim as well, and this is not only a halacha that applies to the din of Erevin, but also applies to the dinim of making brachos. Because if the Gemara Masechtas Brachos tells us that an orez you make a bari menei mezaynus, which is the generally accepted custom. However, there are those that believe that oirez in fact is millet, and that rice is something else, and that on rice you're supposed to make either bari pri adama or a shahakol, and therefore there are those, not the majority, but there are those in Klal Yisrael that are makpid. They don't make a mezainis on oros, but rather if they want to eat rice, they make a bracha on real mezainis, like a piece, a cookie or a cake or whatever, and then they go and eat the oros, or they make two brachas, the mezainis on this and adam on that and shakal on this, etc. There's a famous story about the Satmaruv Zatzal, that it was during the war years, he hadn't eaten for 2 or 3 days, and that somebody came during the Second World War, and someone came to him and says, Rebbe, I have good news for you. I have here a whole portion of rice, this is gishmak, it's nourishing, and all the rest, and he refused to eat it. And they asked Rebbe, why do you refuse to eat it? So he said, because the suffix bracha, I'm not sure whether you make a mezoinis or another bracha, so I don't know.
It, that's
for sure. That's according to everybody. The question is, nobody makes.
Why was he not sure?
But it's the same thing. Yeah, it's also related to this issue.
Why was he not sure? I mean, rice is
because it's a machloikis. What the definition of orez is? In Eretz Yisrael today, orez is rice. However, other mafarshim say that orez is millet. Now, if you ask me what millet is, I'm not sure. If I saw millet in the eye, I'm not sure if I would know what millet is. But it is something which is used in certain places, certain countries, probably by fancy schmancy cooks and bakers. They use millet.
Like the grass is not fancy schmancy.
Yeah, exactly. Years ago, I remember you came to a chasen or bar mitzvah. Your first course was always delicious fricassee with or without meatballs, but it was very very and pipikloch and things like that. And today you get grass and more grass and more grass, and sometimes you get this huge onion, and that onion, a huge mushroom, they call it a portobello. It's in Machai. But anyway,
orez in today's world,
yes,
Hebrew,
yes,
rice, no?
In Eretz Yisrael, orez is rice, correct. They don't, they get involved in that machloikis, and they've decided that orez is rice, which is what, by the way,
how could you make an atom?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Anyway, but it's a machloikis, but most of us fear that we make mezainis. And we continue on. Amamar ukva the didim afashli minei demar shmuel v'pas oriz ma'arvin pas doichen ein ma'arvin. So in fact, there's a machloikis l'gabi doichen, yonish, but everybody agrees pas oriz you could. Amar b'chibar avin omar ab, ma'arvin v'pas adashim. You can be ma'arv even with bread made out of lentils. Feitimor eini. For he the have bishoni the mar Shmuel veshadule kalbei v'loy ochla. Shmuel was experimenting. He took a lentil bread, he threw it to his dog v'loy ochla, and the dog said, "Oh no, that's not for me." He was a feinschmecker. He didn't say feinschmecker. That means he only eats, you know, good food that you would serve to aristocracy. I'm going to go and eat lentil bread. And he didn't eat it. Now, if the dog didn't eat it, so presumably it's not even roy lemachel behaima from lemachel kelev. How can you use it for an eruv? Everything why he deshar minim aved. That wasn't just lentil bread is okay. Rabbi said, try it out; it's delicious. Here we're talking about that it was multigrain. Dechsev, I have a pasuk in Yecheskel. V'yatek kachlecha chitin, go and take some wheat, usa oidim and some barley, opul and some beans, badashim and lentils, that's our lentils, v'doichin and our millet, v'kusman and spelt, and mix them all together and make one delicious bread. What is this?
This is multi-grain bread.
Multi-grain bread, exactly right. So that is the type of bread, that's the bread that Shmuel gave to his dog. And the dog says, I'm not going to eat it. Well, what is this all about? So you have to learn Yecheskel. But what Yecheskel is talking about is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel, B'nevua, tell Klal Yisrael that if they're going to continue to sin, there are going to be some very difficult days ahead for them in Golus. It's going to be, there will be times that they're not going to be able to go to their local bakery and get Pas Yisrael bread, which is going to be delicious, and it's going to be nutritious, and all the rest. There are going to be times that, unfortunately, they're going to have to cobble together bread from all different types of items and different types of ingredients and put them together. I'm sure many of you know that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, during the Second World War, they would serve bread in the concentration camps, and they put sawdust together with the flour to go and make a larger bread. But of course, sawdust is not edible, but that's what they gave them. Anyway, so that is reminiscent to this pasuk, all different types of grains. And this is what Shmuel was doing, was he wanted to test and see how distasteful can this be. So he put together all of these ingredients, threw it to his dog, and his dog says, I know the pasuk in Yecheskel. I know that this is not edible except in not for me, not for me.
So,
no, it's okay. Because of times of deep deprivation and starvation, and I'm not eating it. If you, I'm not making this up. Look at the toises. There's a short toises over here, right? The first of the middle narrow lines. Vahidav b'shnei demar Shmuel. See the second narrow line. Osul enasois. Shmuel wanted to test it out. Ma taima. Since Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yecheskel, go and make this bread, he wanted to go and see how bad this bread could be. Oh, was it bad? They gave it to the dog, and the dog said, Aloy mit an aleph, I'm not idiot. So, l'maisa, what the Gemara's answering is, you can give him that one, unless you're drinking it yourself. What the Gemara's answer is very, very simple. The Gemara is telling us is that lentil bread is effective and valid and nutritious and good for an Erev. The one that Shmuel gave to his dog was the one that they had in the times of Yecheskel, which was not edible, except if you're Nebuch is starving, you have nothing else to eat, and therefore that would not be kosher ben Erev. And then we have Rav Papa Omar. It's not so much the ingredients which are problematic, it's the way they baked it. That's what gave it its repugnant and disgusting character. And in fact, I'm not familiar, but I am told that today there is a popular product called Ezekiel bread, which is based on this pasuk where they've put together this multigrain. And if people are selling it, presumably people are buying it. If people are buying it, presumably they feel that it's not as terrible as the dog. So they shouldn't give it to their dog.
Into a delicacy.
Yeah, I guess so. Good. That's the Chaskel's bread, the Ezekiel bread is from this pasuk. Anyway, so how come the times of Ezekiel this is considered to be inferior, deficient, something to be repugnant and disgusting? So Papa Omar, I'll tell you why. It's not the ingredient, it's right. How it was baked. It was baked in Nebuch with dry tzoya. Tzoya is the feces Nebuch of a person. Like it says in the pasuk, "V'hibi gloli tsoyasa odam t'ugena leinei." The word "t'ugena" is like the word "uga." They baked it with the gloli tsoyasa odam, and therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is, again, Shmuel tried that out, baking it on gloli tsoyasa odam, figuring, "Come on, what will the dog know?" He had a fine schmecker for a hint. The dog said, "Aloy mit an aleph. I'm not going to eat from that bread. I can still smell it from here to Canarsie." They gloli tsoyasa odam. So that was the problem. But normally, if it would be regular lentil bread that you go and bake with normal coals and normal firewood, it would have been gishmak. And therefore, you can use that for purposes of an erev. Okay, as one further comment on this, Yecheskel Mar says, there's also pasuk, mai v'ugas sa'oidim techalena. Since we just said that the uga that they baked had all these 12 different ingredients, why do we say that this sa'oidim, which means barley? On Rav Chizda, don't read it sa'oidim, read it shi'urim. What means shi'urim, says Rashi, that when a person is hungry, he'll eat as much as he can to be able to take away his famine, to take away his hunger. However, it's going to be a time of deprivation. Time of deprivation, you're going to have to share it with all your friends and colleagues in mishpacha, and therefore everybody won't be able to get more than a half a slice or one slice. Mishurim, you won't be able to eat as much as you want because Nebuch, it's starvation and deprivation times. So that means soyrim in shiurim. Rabab Omar arevos ka arevas soyrim v'loy ka arevas chitim. Arevas chitim, arevovim means when you knead it and you form it. If you are forming a bread made out of chitim, made out of wheat, since this is a type of bread which is eaten by nobility, by aristocracy, the baker will make sure that it's formed nicely in a very, very beautiful and pleasant way that you can afterwards put it down on the table and people will remark, oh, what a beautiful bread. However, Arevas Oidim, by definition, is Nebuch poor man's bread, if you will. Since it's poor man's bread, he could care less. He's just hungry. Go and just put it together, put in the batter, mix it whichever way you want, form it, bake it, I'm hungry, I want to eat. So the Soyim gives you the sense that there is no hakpoda on the way it was fashioned or formed. Okay, after that Gishmaki Gemara, on to the Mishnah. Mendy, I think you're being summoned. Look at the Mishnah. No Yisein Odom Mo'ol Lechen V'ni Ule Nachtoim Kedei Shiyizkeloi Eruv Divir Rebbe Lezer V'chomim Oimim Loi Zochul Amai Oisar. You have a Nachtoim or Chen V'ni. Chen V'ni, of course, is a storekeeper. A Nachtoim is a baker. And they are putting together either an Eruv or Shetufei Mevois. Rashi doesn't want to get involved in the Machloikis whether or not you can or cannot use other food items for an Erev. So Rashi says the Nachtoim is being asked to go and bake the bread for the Eruv HaTzeirois, and the Chenveni is asked to go and supply the wine for the Shetufei Mevuais. Okay, so now I am a brand new newcomer to this Chatzer. I want to participate, and I want to be a Grace Knacker. So I know that we had in the previous mission at the beginning couple of days ago, back on Daf Ayin Test, we said Ketzim Mishtafim B'movi, one person can go and be Mezaka L'chol B'nei HaMovi or L'chol B'nei HaChotzer. One person could say, I'm putting away for everybody 2 sudois, and that covers even the maximum, even more than 18 people, like we learned in yesterday's Gemara. So that's what one person did. So now I want to really be a good doer or a do-gooder, and I go over to that Nachtim and to that Chenveni. I say, I hear that you're getting together the Erev. I'm going to go and pay you. I would like to contribute towards this Erev, and here's money towards the Erev. I give you a ma. Ma is a small coin. Okay. So now, Kadesh Yiskel Erev, so that the Erev should be good for him. So Reb Lezer said, that works. Yeah, why not? You know, everybody else can donate a challah towards the cause. Or if the Chenveni or Nachtim is being mezak everybody with his own goods, so what's wrong if I pay? You know, they should be very happy. For everybody else, the Nachtim and the Chenvenis, Erev will work, but not for the one that gave money. This is kind of ironic. If this person really wants to be Zochen, that's why he even paid for it, and the Chum say, no, the money is not going to work. Why won't the money work? So this gets into technical issues of Choish and Mishpat that we're going to talk about on the Amud Beis, but in its basic form, the Gemara is going to say, because Min HaToira, we say that but not minatoyr. Halacha lemaisa mo'ois einon koinois. Meaning, even though when you go into a store and you pay the money and you get your item, you figure, oh, how am I coined? I gave my money, which of course is a basic way of acquisition. However, that's not really a kinyan. Yes, you gave consideration, you gave money, that's great. But the kinyan is when you make a hagbah, or a meshicha, or you make a kinyan sudr, chalipin, things of that nature. Here, however, the person only gave the money and did not make a meshicha, and didn't make a hagbah, just gave money towards the Erev. In such a case, as a chachamim, since the Erev macher, who's either the chenveni or nachtoim, although for everybody else in the chotzer or in the mavoi, I have in mind that this large bread that has in it 2 seudais, or this large barrel that has in it enough for 2 seudais of wine or whatever, is enough for everybody in the chotzer and everybody in the mavoi. But for this fellow, I am not being mezaka based on being gracious and generous. I'm being mezaka to him based on his money. But the problem is, mois einon koinois. So although everybody's will over here is goodwill, he meant well by giving money, and the Chenveni and Nachtoim wants to be mezaka for him, however he cannot be mezaka for him because mois einon koinois. And the only reason why the Erev Macher, the Chenveni or the Nachtoim, is willing to accept this newcomer into the Erev is because he paid the money. He's saying, Yankel, I'm giving it because he gave the money, but the money wasn't koin. Since he wasn't koina, said the Chacham Lizoch L'Moisef, so it's ironic. Everybody else in the Chotzer that didn't give a penny, they could have a chelik in the Erev. However, this fellow who wanted to give money for the Erev, he does not get a chelik. Why doesn't he get a chelik? Because Mois ain't in koinus, and therefore Loisam Chadaite, he didn't have smichas das that the Erev would work for him, unless he made a kinyan, but he didn't make a kinyan. The person that was makna, meaning the Chenveni and Nachtoim, he also didn't have the benefit of a kinyan, because all he said was that this is going to be for everybody, and for that person based on his money, but the money didn't do the trick, because the money is ain't in koinais, therefore the Chum say it doesn't work. And we're going to learn more about this in the Gemara shortly, Rabbi Yisai, the technical aspects. But that's Dafka, we're talking about the Nachtim and the Chenveni. Or Moidim Shar Kol Adam, if the one that's in charge of making the Erev is just a regular Balabos, says Rashi, or the Gemara is going to say Balabayas, then Shezoch L'Moisa, then it does work. Now why does it work, says Rashi? Because since that regular person is not a baker and not the storekeeper, when he is going to go and supply the Erev for everybody, he supplies it for everybody in the Chotzer. And this fellow who gave him money, he gave him money for purposes of a fee or for a tip that he's going and saying, Can you do me a favor? I'll give you $5. Please go to the person that's in charge of the Erevin. Make sure that I'm included. I would go myself. I don't have the time. I still have to go to the mikveh. I still have to get ready for Shabbos. Please. See, he didn't give them money for the goods. He gave them for the service of taking care of him and making sure that he's covered by the Erev. So therefore, says Rashi, that's okay. And Rashi even adds, as we'll see in the Gemara, that if you said to the Nachtim or Chanveni, instead of Kedei Shiyizkalei Erev, I say, Arevli, do me a favor, I give you $5, take care of the Erev for me, that would be okay. Because there again, I'm not paying for the goods, for the actual bread, or for the wine, or for whatever. I'm just appointing Mashliach and saying, here's a $5 tip, please do what you got to do to make me part of the Erev. And then the Mishnah continues, Shein Ma'arav lo Adam Ela Midatoi, when it comes to Ma'arav for a person, it has to be with his absolute consent. Rashi says this is going back on the earlier case of the Chenveni and the Nachtoim. And the reason why you didn't have the full consent is because both of them thought that the contribution to the Erev would be based on this money that was contributed. And since Mois Einen Koinois, there wasn't a meeting of the minds in terms of the legal acquisition of the Erev or portion of the Erev. On Rabbi Yehuda, we've had this Rabbi Yehuda before, but Medav Amurim, this whole concept that you have to have the person's das and consent is Beiruv Tchumen, because Beiruv Tchumen by definition is both a zchus for a person and a choiv for a person. It's a zchus because now he can walk 4,000 amis towards the north, but it's a choiv because he loses all the amis towards the south. So then you have to have his das. And Beiruv Chatzeis Ma'am Ledatar Shloim Ledatar Levisha Zochel Anam Shloim Befanav Vein Chavla Odam Shloim Befanav. When it comes to Beiruv Chatzeis, the assumption is that everybody's happy with an Erev because you can carry. You don't want to carry, Gesundheit. But if you want to carry, this is a tremendous benefit. There's nothing, there's no disadvantage. We'll talk about it again more on the bottom of the Yomid. So do you want my time with Reb Lezer? Why does Reb Lezer say in the beginning of the Mishnah that if a person contributes money, that's fine? We have a problem, Holy Moshach. There was no Kenya, there was no Mashiach. That's the Svar of the Chachamim. What does Reb Lezer do with that Svar? I'm Nachman, I'm Reb Avua. Reb Lezer said that this is a very special situation, extraordinary situation, like four times a year. What does he mean four times a year? Now we learned in the Mishnah. They're four times a year where everybody in Klal Yisrael demands meat. One of those four times a year, so Rashi says, it's Erev Pesach, Erev Shavuos, Erev Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, and Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why not, for instance, Erev Sukkis, etc.? Let's see, Gemara Masechtas Chulin goes through other possibilities throughout the year. V'yeshomrim, I'm sorry?
It fails from this, that back in those days, they ate meat on Shavuos.
They ate meat on Shavuos, yeah, but not to the exclusion of milchiks. That's why you have two meals, one at night and one in the day. Reb Simcha points out that in many families, the custom is that, for instance, for Kiddush, they go and eat milchiks, and they go and eat delicious cheese delkloch and cheesecake and all the rest, and then they wash out their mouths, wait a few minutes, and then they wash and they have a regular meal with all delicious chulent and kegel and basa v'yayin and all the rest, wonderful things. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, so during those four times, now everybody knows this halacha legabi another din, and that's legabi oisiv es benoi. The Gemara Maseches Chulin says that the butcher has to go and tell everybody, I'm selling you the animal today, but make sure, be careful, because I sold already the mother of this animal or the child of this animal earlier today to somebody else. They might be shechting it today, so be careful, don't shech this animal today. The Gabi Oisef Simonoi on those four times a year. But our Mishnah over here is telling us a slightly different halacha, and that is because everybody in Klal Yisrael has this mitzvah, the Chachamim elevated this mitzvah to the point that, says the Mishnah, Mashchitin Esap Tabach Bal Korchai. You can go to the Shoichet and tell him on Erev Yontif, how many more customers do you have? He'll say, Baruch Hashem, I took care of all my customers with a previous large cow that I went and shechted yesterday or this morning, and everybody took a piece. Some people took rib steak, and some people took from the kalichel, and some people took shoulder steak, and some people took what do you put in the chulent?
The bones,
you know, to the
brisket.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. So there was all sold out and nothing left. And one Yidel comes and says, I'm sorry, I'm late, but I also need meat. So the Chacham say, Mashchitin es HaTabach, you can go and force the Shoichet Bal Korchei to go and Shecht today on Erev Yontov, Afila Shor Shove Elef Dar. Holy cow! 1,000 dinner this Shor. But you could have 1,000 dinners from one Shor. And Ben Lekech, the dinner echad, the whole purchaser only wants to go with one dinner. That's all I got and that's all I need. So even though this is a sure loser for the Tabach, he has no choice. He has to satisfy everybody and anybody that comes to him for meat. So Koyfen Oysa Lishchet. And Lefichach, although that's of course a tremendous boon for the customer, but there is one slight disadvantage. Lefichach Immeis, what happens if the animal dies and he already paid for his one dinner? Meis Lelekeach, then the Lekeach loses out on that one dinner because he already prepaid. The animal died. Sorry, you lost your dinner. Frank Dimar, Meis Lekeach, Holy Moshach. There was no kinyan over here. He just gave money. That's not a kinyan. Oh, so the Gemara gives now three answers. First answer, the answer of Huna, Bisha Moshach. It's talking about the Takimeda Mashiach. Frank Dimar, but that doesn't work because he Hachi Imasefa. Look at the end of that Mishnah. Pshari Moshashani, any other time of the year, Einoi Kain. That's not the din. We cannot force the Tabach to go and check if he only has one customer for one dinner. And therefore, lefichach, im meis, what happens if the animal died? Meis lemoicher, then the tabach's loss. It's not the lekeach's loss, because even though lekeach gave the money, he cannot force the shoichet to go and checht for him. So therefore, the lekeach was not kona any part of the shor. If the shor died, then the tabach loses out and not the kohen. So for the Gemara, why are you distinguishing between the four times a year and Shari Moshe Shana? You just told me I'm my Hamashach. He made a Mashiach. If he made a Mashiach, that means he made a Kinyan. If he made a Kinyan, then throughout the year. If the Behemah died, then the Kone, the Lokeh, should lose his money because he made a Kinyan. So Elamayom Rav Shmuel Benak Mayitzvak L'Oilam, we disagree with Ravuna. It's talking about B'Shaloi Moshach. No, B'Shaloi Moshach, then how come the four times a year the Lekeach loses his dinner? After all, the animal never belonged to him. When the Mocher, that's the Tabach, appointed a third party to act as the intermediary, as a Shliach, to be Zocha in this ox on behalf of this Lekeach. So Lekeach only gave a dollar. However, this third party Shliach, he did a Hagbo or a Meshicha or Mesira, whatever he needed to do to be koina the animal so that we have a proper kinyan. So B'dalel Prakim Elu Dischusu Lezochem Lelem Shalem Bafanav. After all, the koina didn't appoint the Shliach, the Tabach appointed the Shliach. So if the animal died, the koine should go and say, I never appointed the shliach. However, since everybody in Klal Yisrael wants to have meat on these 4 days a year, it's considered to be an absolute schusulai. So even without his permission, without his consent, the tabach's appointment of a shliach was effective. And therefore, there was a kinyan made, not by the lokeach, but by that third party as a shliach. And he loses the dinner if the animal dies. There's no absolute need to go and eat meat throughout the year, and it's expensive. It's an expense. So, even if the Tabach appointed a Shliach to make a Kinyan, says Lekeach, who asked you? I never asked you to make a Kinyan. Get out of here. Okay, yes.
It's just
enough
to mean it.
You are Father Grace enough. He's losing his dinner. And the ox. Yeah, continue on.
Four times a year, I'll force the guy to shech the cow for
one poor fellow. Yeah, exactly.
But during the year, there's no such thing. There is, if I come to you, come to him on Thursday afternoon and say, you can't force him to do it. So there's a difference. There's a difference in between the dal prokim and the other time of the year. So
that part is not a question. The question is, what happened if the animal died prematurely? Does the lekeach who prepaid a dollar or $5, does he lose his money or doesn't he lose his money? So what would you say? Does or doesn't?
Stop it, he should lose his money. Why? Because he's forcing him to take a greater hefzik.
So the four times a year he loses the money, but any other time of the year he doesn't lose the money. See, Mara asked him a manavshach. Did he make a kinyan? Did he make a kinyan? If the lekeach made a kinyan, the ox, he pulled the ox, he pushed it and he picked it up or whatever he did, so then he was kona at least the 1% that one dinner.
For a little piece, a cow is usually a big animal.
Sure, it's a big, very big animal.
So we're
saying a holy cow, yeah, it's 100%.
So, normally, when he orders a piece of meat, he doesn't pick up the cow.
That's what that's the Gemara's. That's the Gemara's point. If he didn't pick up the cow, and he only gave money. Mois einan koinois. If the animal died, he said, "Give me my money back. I didn't make a kinyan." So that even the four times a year, he should get his money back.
Normally, if you come to the Thursday afternoon in Kislev, the bunch of them jumping like I'm not shechting a cow for one of them.
Absolutely.
So being that there's a hischaivus on the part of the owner, shouldn't that have a different relationship with the money? Because he's forcing him to, in other words, so he should be his loss then.
Ethically and morally, what you're saying sounds and rings so true. It's such a pleasure to hear your very logical and ethical teachings. But we're talking strictly legalistically. Wow. Legally, it only belongs to Lekech if he made a kinyan. If he didn't make a kinyan, it's very nice. He gave an advance, he gave a nice money.
But
and
he has to still check the cow.
He has to go and check the cow. 100%. So now the shochet gets ready to go and shecht the cow, and he's about to go and be shechted. The animal sees what's going on. The animal says, "Oh, not over my dead body." And the animal goes into cardiac arrest, and the animal dies. So the shochet says, "I never had a chance to go and shecht it. The animal died." Says, "Look, yeah, but give me back my money." Four times a year, he doesn't get his money back. The rest of the year, he does get his money back. Why? He didn't make a kinyan. So the first answer that we gave is, even though he didn't make a kinyan, but it was a third party who made a kinyan. There did get beaten. Who asked you third party to get involved? I know the tabach. I don't know you. What are you doing making kinyan? So if it happens either four times a year, that officious intermediary meddler that went and acted as shliach, it works. Even though I, the lakiach, didn't ask him. However, it's considered to be an absolute tzchus, which is the very reason, as you are pointing out so correctly, that we can force the tabach to go and shech, because everybody wants meat. So it's an absolute tzchus. He can go and be zocha even without his knowledge. But throughout the year, it's not an absolute tzchus, because you can live without meat. Loy ala basar yichya adam. You can go and eat on other things too. You can live on other things. So this is considered to be an expense. So the tabach had no right to go and appoint this third party shliach. It's not mechayivim, and therefore he doesn't have to pay a penny, and he can get his money back.
Can the lokeach do a kinyan simply by doing mashiacha with the contract to purchase for the animal?
He can go and make a mashiacha, and of course he won't be kind of the whole animal, but he'll be kind of 1% or 1 out of 1,000, because if the animal's worth 1,000, this is 1 out of 1,000, so 1/10 of 1%.
So instead of lifting up the animal,
with
the
more tzedakah
mashiach, up the paper.
No, you can't pick up paper. A mashiach has got to be on the animal itself.
The
only thing that you can do about lifting is if you want to do a kinyan sudr, where people pick up pens or guard clothes and things of that nature. No. But I've never heard of anybody doing a kinyan chalipin or kinyan sudr on a piece of paper. Maybe, you know.
I mean the contract of sale.
Shtar helps for karka. Karka can be called a kesef shtar and b'chazaka. But not metaltlin doesn't help shtar. Anyway, Mitchell, we'll get to Bob Matziah. And we'll talk about that in greater detail. But getting back to our Gemara, so that was the first teretz about the Dalet Prakim. But now let's get back to our Mishnah. So Gemara gives another answer. Rav Ilu Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dalet Prakim, Ilu Hamidu Chachom Divreim Al Divrei Torah. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah Mo'ois Koinois. There's a famous machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that you learn throughout the Bavois in the yeshiva years. You have this in Bav Metzia and the other Bavois. And that is, when that we say the Mo'ois Einan Koinois, is that Min HaTorah or is that Midraban? Rabbi Yochanan holds Dvar Torah Mo'ois Koinois and Min HaTorah. Yes, you can make a kinyan with money. You don't have to make a Meshicha or a kinyan Sudr or a Hagbah. Why did the Chum institute? No Mois, it's got to be Meshicha. What does that mean? That means, what happens if you have a person who was selling chitim? Chitim, of course, is wheat. Or, for that matter, anything which is burnable. There's no such word as burnable. Something
flammable.
Flammable. Oh, you see, what would I do without you, Reb Simcha? Anything which is flammable. So I happen to be a mocher, and I sell to you 1 ton of grain, and that 1 ton of grain is in one of my major storage houses somewhere in New Jersey. And you paid for it, and everything is great. So min ha-Torah, the kinyan works, Dvar Torah Mois Koinos, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish disagrees, we're going according to Rabbi Yochanan. Mois Koinos, okay. And then I say, when are you going to pick up the grain? I really don't have room for a ton. All of my granaries are full. I'm going to come back in a month from now and I'm going to take delivery because I'm going to sell out all of my schayra and I'll pick it up. Okay, fine. I'm not going to charge you. You can leave all the grain there for a month and take delivery in 30 days. 2 weeks later, you read or you hear on the radio, you read in the newspaper, there was a major, major fire there in that part of New Jersey, and unfortunately the ingants and the whole storage warehouse never burned down to the ground. Now I, the koiner, come after 30 days to go and pick up my tefuah, and I find there's no tefuah left. And I go to the moicher, moicher, what happened to my tefuah? Oh, I'm so sorry you didn't hear. Tell me, are you living in a bubble? You don't read the papers? You don't listen to the fake news media? You should have heard that there was a fire and the whole thing burned down. Why didn't you protect it? Why should I protect it? It's not my problem. It's your problem. You know, on the storage house, it was 50 years old anyway. I was anyway going to go demolish it shortly. That doesn't bother me. I have insurance. But as far as your grain, you should have picked it up. It's not my problem. It's your grain, right? You paid for it. And therefore, we were concerned, say the Chachamim, that the mocher won't try to protect the commodity that was purchased by the purchaser. Therefore, the Chachamim said, no. Mois ain't in kindness. It's a delivery. If you make a kinyan on it and you take it home, then you're coin it. Leaving it in the granary is not going to be your kinyan. So that's Umid Rabban. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Ibidalit Prokim Elu. In this case, where you have to go and buy meat, the Kuvit Yantiv, so even though you only paid money, you didn't make a Meshicha. The Chacham said, forget about this concern about Nishuk Zechabaliyah. We're going to go back to the original Diraisa, and we're going to say Mois Koinus, and that's why this poor fellow, the Lakeach, was Koina, a part of this cow after all. Okay, that's a fascinating discussion. What does it have to do with us? Says Rashi, just like the Chacham said, Hemidu divreim al divrei Torah, that Mois is koinois, legabi, the case of the four prokim b'shana. The same applies here to tikkun for Shabbos. Since Shabbos, we want people to be able to go and carry in their chutz or carry in their mavui, so that people can go in and out on Shabbos and put things in their chutzir, etc. Therefore, they instituted v'atoyra mois koinis, money will work here. That's why Reb Lezer respectfully disagrees with the Rabbanan and Amishnah, and therefore if somebody wants to contribute towards the Erev with money, it's as if he made a kinyan. Even though mid Rabbanan, we don't allow Mois Einan Koinus. But here the Chacham said, you know what? We are going to go and return Hemidu Chacham Divreim al Divrei Torah. They said over here, we'll go back to the biblical kinyan of Mois Koinus. But once again, the Chacham disagree. Now the Mishnah said that whole machloikis is only the gabi chenvini and a nachtoim. But in the top line here in the Amud Beis, we said umoidim shar kolodim shezochel umoisev. Freit imara man shar kolodim. Who's this shar kolodim? Amarav balabais. In other words, a regular person who's not a nachtoim and not a chenvini, but rather one of the balabatim that lives in this chotzer. When do we say in our Mishnah that you cannot be zoche by giving money? That's by the baker. A balabais, but if they're just an askon here in the chotzer that's involved in getting the Erev together, and you pay him, that's kind of, that works. And the Yom Shmuel added, when we said in our Mishnah that if you give money, it doesn't work according to the Chachamim, lo yishanu elamo, because you give money. Av a kli, if you make a kli, what means kli koine? So Rashi, it doesn't mean that you hand it over a kli and say, okay, here, I give you my watch. Kli over here is talking about he made a kinyan suder. Oh, kinyan suder, that works, because a kinyan suder works minatora just like all the other kinyan and meshicha and agbo and kinyan suder. So, like you pick up the handkerchief, here is talking about picking up the kli, pick up a pen, whatever it was that he used for the kinyan chalipin, for the kinyan suder. So that works. The beginning of the Mishnah said that he asked him, that doesn't work. If he says, please make an Erev, here I give you $5, make an Erev, then shliach shavye vikani. It's not that he's contributing towards the purchase of the nachtoim's chalois, or towards the chenveni's wine, but rather he's asking him, do me a favor, I don't have the time, I don't know who to speak to, I'm late, here, I give you $5, please come to me Friday night and assure me that you took care of all the Erev issues. I give you $5 as a commission, a tip, use it, and keep the money, give it to Tzedak, or whatever you want. Amr Yehuda, it says the end of the Mishnah, B'med, Bar Mamur, what do we say this? Be'eruv et chumen, be'eruv et chatzeirois, ma'av ledatev shaloi ledatev. So Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Aloha, Kireb Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda, the Amoira. He says, we're paskin like Reb Yehuda the Tana. Okay, what's the halacha like Reb Yehuda? Like it says in our Mishnah, that only by Eruvi Truma do you have to have consent and permission, but not by Eruvi Chatzeres, because it's an unqualified advantage and benefit. Wherever you find Rabbi Yehuda in a Mishnah in Mesechtas Erevin, in our whole Mesechta, Halach Kemois, we always pass in like Rabbi Yehuda. Azay, Omele Rav Chana Bagadato, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Afilu or Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Afilu Bemovoi Shenitlu Kairoisev or Lechyov. We had it earlier in Machloikis, Legabi, what happens if you have a Movoi and the Kairo or Lechy fell down during Shabbos? Is a machloikus over there between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? Over there too, do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Amalei says no. The Erev and Amart. I talked about making the Erev. Erev is the food items that you put together and you put aside. That's Amart Hilcha. That's what we paskin always like Rabbi Yehuda. Falei Machitza, if you're talking about koira or lechi, which itself is a machloikus whether it's mishum heker or mishum machitza. Gemara here assumes that it's mishum machitza. That I didn't mean. I meant the Erev in the food part. I didn't mean the Erev in the machitza part. Since we started off Om Rav Yehuda Mishmuel Halacha Rav Yehuda, obviously there's a machlokes. Otherwise, I wouldn't have to say Halacha Rav Yehuda. So, Frank Timur, what's the machlokes? From Rav Shimon Levi, Kamokish Om Rav Yehuda, Eimasai Uvameh. Vameh means Bamed Vamamurim. The Mishnah Seinu and any one of our Mishnais, any Elifarish Derichacham Vulei Pligi. Look, or Derichacham. If you go back to our Mishnah on the second line from the top of the Omid, Om Rav Yehuda. Ba'amed, v'amam when was it said? Rabbi Tchumen, Rabbi Chatzayrais. Ah, so Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said whenever Rabbi Yehuda uses that expression, Eimasai, or ba'amed v'amamurim, he doesn't come to argue, he comes to explain. And therefore he's just explaining what the Chachamim holds. If that's the case, there's no machloikis. He's just explicating, expressing, saying explicitly what the Chachamim meant all along. So based on that, so then there's no machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama are one and the same. He's just explaining. So why did Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel have to say Halacha k'Rav Yehuda? Freitimar v'loy pligi. Is there no machlokes? In the previous mission that we learned the other day, it says in the Tosfos Lei, what happens if newcomers, new residents come to the chatur? Moisif umizake v'tzarech lohidia. So remember, we divided this up. Rashi divided it up. Moisa Mizaka means that if the person is giving from his own food items, he can be Moisa for this newcomer and be Mizaka to him. And if he's giving it from the food that belongs communally to the whole community that has bought this one basketful or this one barrelful, they've all bought it Bishutfis, he has to go and advise the fellow, I want you to know, we're using the contents of your shutfus to make the Erev. Ah, so why do you have to say that? Because after all...
Hey up, buddy.
After all, we're talking about a chotzer. Didn't you say now, Rabbi Yehuda holds by a chotzer, ma'arvan ledatav shaloi ledatoi? And here the Chacham said in the prior Mishnah, it's a idea that you have to have datoi. So you see that there is a machloikis. Don't tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is bameh, is only lefarish. L'chari, there's a clear-cut machloikis. The Tanakhama says, tzarech lohidia. And our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda by Yeruvi Chatzeres, ain't tzarech lohidia. Everything Gemara, nishkaray. Hossam, there's a separate story, talking about chotah shebein shnei mavois. It's a chotah between two mavois. So what difference does that make? So as we learned yesterday, when a person has a chotah between two mavois, the assumption is that he's only going to use one mavoi throughout the week and Shabbos, and not use the other mavoi, because one mavoi is going to be more convenient for him. It leads directly into the Rishus HaRabim. Well, the other mavoi, it goes around the block, and it's not as convenient. And therefore, if you're going to tell a person that I'm making an Erev for you in Chatzir A, that's very beneficial for him vis-a-vis Chatzir A. But it's, or I say Chatzir A, mavoi A, I'm making a Shetufa Mavois, and I'm including you in mavoi A, that's beautiful. But there is a disadvantage, because he will not be able to go and carry now in Mavoi B. So when normally when it comes to a Chatzar or comes to a Mavoi, there is only an undiluted advantage and benefit, which is why Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, Ma'amad L'Data Shalei L'Data. But that Mishnah might be talking about, that earlier Mishnah might be talking about there was a Chatzar Ben Shnei Mavois, and that's why Tzarech L'Idea, because we have to know which Mavoi he's going to use and he's not going to use for purposes of making the Erev, because if we select the wrong Mavoi, it will be a disadvantage for him. Tzivaita, there's no machloikis. The Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that where there's only one chatzir and one mavoi, you don't have to ask his permission. And when there are two chatzeres or two mavois, that's already a different story. Then tzarech la'idia. So, vaita, there's no machloikis. Yesterday we quoted this Rav Shizbi and said, no, there is a machloikis. So if there is a machloikis, but Rabbi Shua ben Levi said before that whenever you say b'med dvor mamur, it means that there is no machloikis. Make up your mind. So you're asking for one amoira on another amoira. You're asking for Rabbi Shua ben Levi that says that whenever it says b'med dvor mamur, means no machloikis. You're asking Akasha and Shmuel that said that there is a machloikis, and that's why we're passing halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. You're asking for one amoira and the other amoira. Mar Sava Pligi Shmuel holds that there is a machloikis, and b'med dvor mamurim is not an explanation, but rather he's coming to argue. Or Mar Sava and Rabbi Shua Malegi says no, b'med dvor mamurim means I'm just explaining the Tanakama, but I'm not arguing with the Tanakama. So in fact, there's a machloikis amoiraim, whether there is a machloikis tanoim between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Any questions, Rabbi Sai? Hearing none, Yitzchak will get back tomorrow. It won't be that late tomorrow because there's no laning and no tachlin. It'll be probably close to 7:50 because the net is again a minute or 2 minutes later, so it won't be 7:45, approximately 7:50. But that's again only for this week because his Matzah Shabbos and Yitzchak were changing the clocks. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai Zagi Ben Zagi.